Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. We have to move today. Let's see how quickly we can get through as much as we can. Don't necessarily think so. We need to start classroom soon. So let's see how far we can get. And then we'll figure out what to do. When we last left our heroes, we were still in Simon Shin Yud Zayin by this very important Sif. Sif Gimel of Shin Yud Zayin is very important for many, many Ajmullah and for a lot of Halacha L'maisa. Let's review what we saw already. We said, Matir Beisatzav Mikesher Kashro Usikesher Kove She'eno Kesher Shel Kayama. You're allowed to untie the knot that the launderer ties it with, because that's a temporary knot, and it's only shy of untying, and it's temporary, no problem. Aval ein the post on some chadish m'takamanu, but you can't make a new neck opening, because that's t'makav patish, making an opening, and says, Rama, if you look for niftach, rak, shechazor, umna, mekashor, or if you look for viach, idosha, umna, osin, also you can't, right? Meaning, if a professional, in the professional way, is the tailor closes up the neck, then reopening it is like remanufacturing it and is a and is a problem. As opposed to if it just like you tie it and it gets a little tangled, then that's not considered makom patish. The Ramah continues. V'lachein also not to go lachto zug shalman olam atfum yachid dersha umnen osin af al gav. If the shoemaker sews the shoes together, then you are not allowed to rip them apart. Right? I said, I don't think our shoemakers do that with the shoes so much. I mean, our shoemakers don't even make shoes. With socks, sometimes you'll see that you buy a pair of socks and they are sewn together. There might be other things also. I don't think gloves. Gloves usually are just hooked together with some plastic piece. But socks are sometimes sewn together. Maybe there are other things. So it says you're not allowed to rip that sewing. Why? It says because in Matir, there's a heter of Kesher She'eino Shel Kayama. In Korea, there's no heter of Eino Shel Kayama. What? Ah, so with suits sometimes, they sew that thing in the back, right? We never forget why they sewed that thing in the back, did we? Why did they sew that thing in the back? So there's no heter of tfira she'eino shel kayama. I'm pretty sure all those things they sew are shtei tfiros, right? It's two stitches, meaning it goes through and back. Which let's consider that two stitches. Anyway, there's no heter. But then the Ramah continues and says, v'yesh matir v'tfira she'eino shel kayama. But some people say, just like there's a heter of untying an eino shel kayama kesher, there's a heter of ripping Eino Shel Kayama Tefira. And the Ein Lahater Bifnei Am Ha'aretz, you shouldn't be matter in front of an Am Ha'aretz, meaning that since this could easily be confusing to people, that they see you tearing stitches on Shabbos, in front of an Am Ha'aretz, you're not going to understand the difference between permanent and temporary, you shouldn't do it. But if you're not in front of an Am Ha'aretz, you can. The simple pshat, and this is what Rishon Zalman and many others understand, is that the Ramah brings two deos. What's the hachra of the Ramah? First he says, Osir. Then he says, Yesh Matirin. Then he says, Ve'im Lasas V'Neyam Ha'aretz. It doesn't sound like that's only one opinion. It sounds like that's his opinion. So if his opinion is, Ve'im Lasas V'Neyam Ha'aretz, that means you're allowed to do it by yourself or with only your family who are not Amaratzim around. So it's understood, the hachra of the Ramah, and the achronim is to be matir in this case. So here we have a shayla of a pashtus, at least, this is not a shayla of makiv patish. Because like he finished the shoes and then he sewed them together, it wasn't really, he just sewed them together to keep track of them. Right? Like when they sew together these socks, that's not part of the manufacturing process, sew together the socks. That's just to keep track of them afterwards. And this also ties into sewing labels or such onto clothing, right? So the assumption is that if we just ask this question, what about removing labels, tags, right, or separating when you buy new clothing. So there are two potential shailas involved. One potential shaila is... Makid Bepatish. Is it a shash of Makid Bepatish or is it not a shash of Makid Bepatish? There we saw there was a das yachin of the chudshani of Karelitz, we discussed last time, who said it's an isser of Makid Bepatish, but all the poskim said not that way. Right? But, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and other modern day poskim, the Yerucha Shabbos, etc., said mutter because it's just added after it's already a finished product. It's not part of the processing. It's not like the tailor puts in stitching and closes things up as part of his work. This isn't part of the work to manufacture it. This is just something they put on afterwards so you'll know what the price is, or so that they'll put the legally they have to put the information about like what percent everything it is and where it was manufactured, or so you'll know what size it is when you buy it, or so that you don't lose track and separate the pairs, etc. The other shaila is, what about Korea? So hold on. If it's just a plastic... What do you ever decide what we call those little plastic things with a T on both ends that attach the price tags? Or if it's, let's say this, not stitched, then it's mutter. But what if it is stitched? Like socks sometimes come stitched together, or on a suit. Not that the price tag that dangles. On a suit, on the sleeve, you ever notice sometimes they have like, they stitch on the four corners the label? Either the cloth label or the cardboard label or whatever it may be. What about in that case? Well, what about if it's stitched? So then it's a, is it usur mishum korea? So here we have 2 days in a row. Ramah Deya Aleph. Ramah Deya Aleph says that Asur lekroa tfira she'ena shel kayama. Ramah Deya Beis says mutter lekroa tfira she'ena shel kayama. By the way, the Achronim assume, even though that's not what the Ramah is discussing here, because it doesn't come up a lot, that just like by kosher and matir, you're allowed to tie a temporary knot or untie a temporary knot. Likewise, by Tefira, if the Ramah is matir tearing a temporary sewing, he's also matir doing a temporary sewing. It's just that doesn't come up in everyday life in the time of the Ramah, or at least in sewing in our days. We don't temporarily sew things. Certainly not Shabbos. But we'll see that it does have enough. I mean, how do we paskin? So, the Aruch HaShabbos brings those who say, well, still, you could have a makom l'estapik, maybe there's other studim l'achmer, you could be machmer, but at least, certainly, in the classic case, certainly if there's no other studim l'chumra, then we paskin, halacha, is that it's mutter shelo bifnei am ha'aretz. Yes?
How much closer are we allowed to be different?
What would the difference between kosher and tofer? It is a great question, meaning, on the simple level, the answer is because in kosher there's precedent in the Gemara. To be matter, temporary knots, seemingly pretty clearly, while in tofer there's no precedent in the Gemara. Why might there be a difference? So, you... it is a great question. After all, they both seem the same thing, right? You're attaching things. I thought I had a theory, but I'm not sure that makes sense. Okay. Tzarchian, I'm not sure. L'maisa we paskin, just asr shlov nema aretz. Okay, that's just because even people might be more likely to get confused. Why people are more likely to get confused is just because, you know, how it seems to them, not because of any logic. Now, the question is, this is relevant to a lot of questions. Why is this relevant to a lot of questions? Number one, sewing. Tearing. If you have something, a label sewn on or something. Not only that, or if you have your shoes or socks sewn together. But even more than that, stapling. Stapling is also like sewing. If you look at what a staple is, it's really just a stitch, right? Staple is really a stitch. So let's say, you know, sometimes the cleaner staples something on to your clothing. So what about that? What? Yeah. So what about taking out something that's stapled? And what?
They put it there temporarily.
Correct. Like meaning, correct.
On paper, it'll be like...
Okay. You're right. Obviously, I mean, if someone staples two papers together, people who staple two papers together, staple two papers together for a long time. I don't permanently, like, I'd be a gold sendek. I mean, indefinitely, for a very long time. You know, you would paperclip them if you only want them together for a day. So staple papers for sure, push it. The question is, what about the cleaner staple things? Those are temporary. Okay, and let's keep that in mind. And not only that, this also, the Rambam writes that gluing is toter, d'oraisa. And when I say gluing, it doesn't mean you have to have a tube of glue. It means just you attach two things with sticky substance. So that's the same as using tape, right? Masking tape or scotch tape. In Israel, they call it sellotape. I mean, in England, I guess they must call it sellotape. So that's also tofer. So the question is, can you... often when people tape things or glue them, they do it permanently, right? But there's some things that are only temporary. Like, for example, this famous question, how about diapers, right? These sticky diapers, right? There are a lot of diapers nowadays are Velcro. But in the old days, you have to stick them, and then you unstick them when you have to change the baby. How about Band-Aids, right? You have to pull off the tabs of the Band-Aids, unstick them, then you have to stick it onto your clothing. Onto your skin. All of these things. How about post-it flags and Sfarim? Right? You're learning on Shabbos. You have one of these guys? Right? Stark marks? Right? You learn many pages on Shabbos, so you want to put it back here. So how about all those things? That all has to do with this Ramah. And the accepted psak is that initial kayama is okay. The question, however, is what's called kayama and what's called initial kayama? Meaning, if you look at knots at kosher, it doesn't say anything less than Abias Gold said it's called temporary. Anyone know in the halach of knots, how long can you make a knot and untie a knot for? Lechatchila? What? A week if you're stuck, but lechatchila? 24 hours a day. Right? That's the halacha. Only a temporary that's matter or not, like the heter is only a day if you're stuck a week. So, hold on a second. All these things we just mentioned are much more than a day and much more than a week. Right? The Band-Aids, you might only stick on the Band-Aid for less than a day. When you pull off the tab, that was stuck for more than a week and more than a day. Diapers, again, you only put on the diaper. You never leave the diaper for more than a day on a baby. But when you have to first pull off the tab there and unstick it from where it was stuck for a long time. It was stuck for weeks or months. These post-it flags, again, it depends if it's a sefer you're learning all the time or not, but not every sefer do you learn, hopefully you learn every day, but not necessarily every sefer. So you might stick it easily for more than a day, even for more than a week. And likewise, all these things on your clothing are there for more than a day often. So, what's called temporary? This is the $64,000 question, is what is called temporary? What is called Eino Shel Kayama? And this is a famous Machlokas Achronim. Yeah?
Well, the case in the Ramah is also a case more than a day.
How do you know? Who says?
I assume that the shoemaker doesn't just start, like, make the shoe and finish it that day like it could be, but I also assume there are many cases where it's not like that.
Now, the, the Lavush also assumed that. And how about the launderer? Is that always only for one day? I don't know, maybe, Efshar. Look in Mishnah Brura, Chaf Aleph is the most important Mishnah Brura here. It's not about Makom Patish, but we can't, like, not learn this if we're nearby. Ain't no Kesher Shel Kayama. What's not considered not a permanent knot? And according to the Ramah, whatever we learn about tying knots, we can also extrapolate to sewing and tearing. Says the Mishnah Brura, she'enu asur liskayim rak ad shikachenu habalabayis lebeiso, that it's only made until you're ready to take it home. That's called temporary. That's Lavush. Says Lavush, anything just until you use it is temporary. Mishnah Berurah Chaf Aleph. Anything just until you use it is temporary. Meaning, it doesn't matter how long it is. Like, who knows? Maybe you're not going to pick up your laundry right away. Maybe you're not going to wear the shirt. The point is, anything that doesn't really accomplish anything, and you don't use it that way, it's defined as temporary, because it's only until you're ready to pick it up and use it. That's automatically called temporary. That's a chiddush levush, based on Zev's ha'ara. He says, who says these things are all in a day? No, it must be. If you tie a knot because it's useful to have the knot, because you want to use it tied, then more than a day is a shash of permanent. But if you tie a knot, if you tie a knot or sew something, that's only until the guy picks it up and uses it. That's just like a placeholder while it's not being used. And you would take it out as soon as you're ready to use it. That's automatically called the initial kayama, because it has no chashivas. He continues, V'yesh machmirim. But Dabra Elam Kina Oso Lahatra Oso Yom Shel Kvisa. And some people are machmir, it has to be that day. And they'd have to make the Okem Tezev. That is all talking on the same day. That's the Taz. So here is a machlokes. Says the Taz. One day. In which case, all of our things are usher. However, says the Lavush, says anything which is just until you use it, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman adds, and you take it out when you are ready to use the item, is called temporary. That is a special svar lahaka lavush, but on the one hand, it's a big chiddush. He just made it up. On the other hand, as Zev says, it comes out of this. Who says the shoes are that day? Who says the launderer is that day? That's the special kul of the levush. How do we paskin in this machlokas haz levush? This makes all the difference in the world, right? Makes all the difference in the world. How we paskin on this machlokas between the Taz and the Levush. So, if you look in the Urcha Shabbos, he is misopic about this. He is misopic about this. He says, you know what? It's enough that we pass like this second day of Kul of the Ramah. To also pass like the Levush against the Taz makes me nervous. However, Shlomo Zalman said straight out many places in the Shmir Shabbos, Shlomo Zalman says we go like the Levush, and he says that's what it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah. If you're Medayik the Mishnah Berurah, he says, the Halach is like the Levush, V'yesh Machmirim. The Yesh Machmirim sounds like the Ikar Din is not like the Machmirim. So, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that the Ikar HaDin is like the Levush. The Ikar HaDin is like the Levush, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. In which case, now let us discuss some of the issues that came up, that come up. One second. Let's discuss some of the issues that come up here. Number one, how about the sewn-on tags, right? The sewn-on tags on your clothing, right? So, sewn tags on outside of new clothing. Right, the sewn tags on the outside of new clothing, that would be totally on the machlokas, taz and levush. Right? It's there for many, many days. I'm sure it's there for more than a week. It's probably there for a month or two. Who knows? It's from Vietnam until you buy it in Sims. So, that would be the machlokas, what?
Sims doesn't exist anymore.
All right. What can you do? This is machlokas, taz, the machlokas. Taz and Levush, and Me'ikar Hadin. It is Mutter, of course. It's not, after all, you're being made like the Taz, like the Levush, Yish Machmir, like the Taz, but says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Me'ikar Hadin, it is Me'ikar Hadin, it is Mutter. However, it's really much better to avoid because you get into this, machlokas, and again, the Urcha says, well, it's already, you're already being mekel once, like the second day of the Ramadan, you're being mekel again, like the Lavash. He's not so comfortable with it. Shlomo Zalman says, no, that's the Ikar Din. Even Shlomo Zalman sounds like he himself wouldn't have done it. He used the Lashon Ikar HaDin. Ikar HaDin implies that he wouldn't have done it, but if you're writing a Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, you can tell Am Yisrael to do it. But Me'ikar HaDin, it is mutter, even though it's obvious all of these things are better to avoid, right? It's always better to avoid these things than take them off before Shabbos. I spoke to earlier about this. Says there's never a heter to like save it for Shabbos L'chadchila. It's all a question of what to do if you're it's already Shabbos.
I'm not sure if we discussed this already. Taking a step back, like why are we allowed to open like a wrapper or something?
Why are we allowed to do korea? Why are we allowed to do korea on a wrapper? Because a wrapper is different because the special heter is like the shell of a nut that it's buckled to the food, and therefore it has no chashivas of korea. That's a special heter of a wrapper. It's not a wrapper. It's not enclosing something else. So we don't have this heter. And keep in mind also, let me say it a little better. In a wrapper, you're tearing this wrapper, and it's total garbage, not useful at all. Remember, we saw this Shmiras Shabbos. If you're tearing it in a useful way, that's a problem. No, this wrapper is garbage. You're not machshiv this wrapper. Over here, two things are sewn to each other, the suit and the tag. You're not machshiv the tag, but you're machshiv the suit. That's a real korea, that you're tearing something because you want one half of it to be without the other half of it. That's a real shashiv korea. So that's not, it's not like a wrapper. The tag might be like a wrapper, but the suit isn't.
That's where also to the food would also apply to like a game or something.
Pashtus, yes. Now, if you want me to say, so why can't you open an envelope on Shabbos with a letter inside? Isn't the envelope just bottles of the letter? So the dochak, I can come up for reasons why the minig is not to do it. Even but the ikra din, that's also mutter. As the Chazanish and others write. Although the minig is clearly in that case not. You know, even if it's just the minhags in the old days, they were all aerograms that you tore the part that was written on and then opened it up and read it. Okay, here's the big chumrah the Orcha Shabbos points out. What if you have a stapled, well, there are two cases. You know, sometimes you have laundry in yeshiva or something. They staple or, what?
Like the plastic or the paper.
They put your name in your laundry, in your clothing for the laundry?
Only in Israel.
Okay.
Right on your shirt. Right?
Only in Israel. You know, they iron a thing onto your shirt or something for the laundry? No, they don't have that in America? Okay, forget it.
They actually write on it.
No, it's something.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Anyway, so fine. In that case, I won't put it on the board, but if, let's say, you're in yeshiva and everyone gets like a number for the laundry and kibbutz, they still have this. And they like iron on or sew on that number, that's pashtus to take off on Shabbos, because that's meant to be there for a whole year. And it's not meant to be there just till you use it. It's meant to be used again and again and again. So that's a double pasha. Here's a more interesting case. The cleaners, they don't mean for you to leave it on until next time you bring it to the cleaners. Right? So how about there are two kinds of cleaning tags. There is stapled cleaner tags on the outside of your clothing. You know how, like sometimes they around your belt loop or something? What? The next line. That's lechora the same as above. If the staples attack the outside of your clothing, that's the same as these tags, right? But, says the Orcha Shabbos, this. If you have a stapled cleaner tags on the inside pocket, you ever see they do that sometimes? They staple it to the inside pocket of your suit jacket? That's a little tricky because you don't have to take it off to wear it. A lot of people leave it on. It's not like something you have to take off as soon as you wear it.
Like, meant to be taken off.
It is meant to be taken off, but it's not so pashut, right? So this is a little more chomer because you could leave it on, and some people might leave it on. So this is, says the Orcha Shabbos, that it is more chomer, that is, but he doesn't say more chomer, he says usser, because you don't have to take it off. If you don't have to take it off, then maybe even the Levush would agree. The Levush only means when it's so temporary, because obviously you're going to take it off. But if you might take it off, you might not take it off. You might wear it a few times and then think to take it off. Some people are mocked, but some people aren't. Then, he says, you can't use the kula of Levush. Levush is the Chiddush. The Chiddush is if you have to take it off when you use it. That's defined as temporary. Like, It's be'etzim temporary, not on the clock. It's b'mahus temporary, because you have to take it off as soon as you use it. This one, it depends on your mood. So therefore he says to be machra, and this is a big chumrah, especially if you live someplace without an Erev, or you don't rely on Erevin, then you better be very machbid, because you can't take it off on Shabbos, and you can't not take it off on Shabbos and walk outside, because it's otzah. Meaning, enough people take it off that it's otzah to walk outside with it. But enough people don't take it off that it's not something that the Levush would apply. It's very much in between. You get homers both ways. So, therefore, you have to be extra machbid, look how chila, not to get into the situation.
In terms of like people like undershirts used to be manufactured with tagging. Now that people were very upset with tags, and manufacturers now moved to making them without tags.
Right.
For that reason, because people used to be pulling those tags off. Now the manufacturer wanted them to be there, but no one liked them. So I used to always pull them off. So would that be considered in terms of like?
No, I don't think that would be a hatchet, because when they manufactured it, they knew that many consumers leave them on forever. So you couldn't take it off on Shabbos, Lukuliyama.
Either the fact that they recognize that everyone didn't like them and changed to not tagless now. That
but it's not everyone who didn't like them. It's that some people didn't like them. They want to make all the consumers happy. Why do they put an OU on every product they sell in the middle of Texas or Oklahoma? Because some people might be MacBid, so you might as well get all the people to buy it. So the t-shirts. If 5% of people are MacBid, you might as well get them to buy it too. It can't hurt. But I don't think they didn't know everyone would take it off. Then they would have changed a long time ago. No, I'm not Makabal Ibn Khalil. Now, let's get on to the more modern-day questions. The more modern-day questions are, what about when you get to Band-Aids and diapers? Sticky diapers, meaning not Velcro.
What about the clasps that they use on like ace bandages?
The clasp that you use in the ace bandage, that's not called Topher. That's not the derech of Topher. That's okay. Now, what about these? Here you have three Topher issues. What are the three issues? One is putting it on you. Put it on your skin or taping the diaper to itself. That's for sure, Mojo. That's less than a day. That's Pashut, right? That's temporary less than a day. Right? This is Mutter. What?
Not all Band-Aids are less than a day.
First of all, they're at least less than a week, and they've been welcome sorry if we rely on a week. And they're mostly, you usually keep them less than a day or around a day, so it's good enough, let's say.
Why is
sticking
called Topher?
The Rambam writes that gluing is called Topher. And sticking is gluing.
Right.
Okay, but hold that thought. Mutter, that's Pashut. The second issue is if you stick diaper clothes, again, before Velcro, stick diaper or Band-Aid closed. If you stick it closed, to throw it out. You stick it closed and throw it in the garbage. That is Pashtus Usher, because you're doing it permanently. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, after, you can say, what you're throwing in the garbage doesn't count as permanence. But the simple shot is that that's Usher. So we say that's Usher because that's permanent. I mean, this is Mamish temporary, and this is Mamish permanent.
Why is it considered kilkul, since it's not unusual?
Because kilkul doesn't make Topher Mutter. Topher is usher, even if it's kilkul.
It's just Korea.
Even Korea is only Mutter, but they're kilkul for wrappers, not for anything. Now, another thing that's chumer is, if you put a Band-Aid on, let's say you put a Band-Aid on your finger. You know you often like wrap it on itself in a circle? How do you take that off? You slip it off and throw it in the garbage. That means that you just stuck it permanently when you put it on. So on Shabbos, if you have a pets on your finger, you can't put it around and tape it to itself. You have to tape it just to your finger. Because otherwise, it's the derech to be permanent, because everyone just slips it off and throws it in the garbage. So likewise, or sticking Band-Aid to itself when you put it on. Now, if it would have been the derech of people, that when they stick the band-aid to itself, they then unstick it from itself when they're done. That would be one thing, but that's not true. Anytime you stick a band-aid to itself, which is only on fingertips, when you're done, you just slip it off and throw it in the garbage, so you now stuck it permanently. So that's very hard. The machlok, yes?
Magnets. I heard they're also
an issue of tofer. No, we assume magnets are not tofer. We assume that anything that makes things stick together that's not intended to be used long-term by the human beings who invented it is not called tofer. Therefore, even though there are some who question this a little, we assume zippers are not tofer. We assume buttons are not tofer. When I button or unbutton my shirt, we assume Velcro is not tofer. And we assume magnets. If you put a magnet on your fridge. Now, I'm not talking about kosev. If you put magnets on your fridge and spell out happy birthday, mom, that's a kosev problem. That's temporary ksiva, which is also your rabbana. But, or at least. But just putting a magnet on your fridge, or you want to, you know, tape a Shabbos schedule to your fridge or something with a magnet, that's okay. None of those are derech tefira, because it's the Rambam's chiddush that gluing is tefira. Meaning, in the Gemara only says sewing is tefira. If you would have asked me, I would have said stapling is tefira, because stapling is just sewing with metal stitches. But who says gluing is tefira? The Rambam said gluing is tefira. But what did the Rambam mean to be chadish? He probably meant to be chadish. Only gluing is like tefira, because like sewing, gluing is usually done for a long time. But Velcro was specifically invented to not last a long time. Why did they invent Velcro? So there are things you don't have to worry about opening and closing all the time and putting a lot of work into it. So they invented Velcro. Why did they invent buttons and snaps and zippers? For things that you have to unbutton and unsnap and unzip all the time so it won't be such hard work. Why did they invent magnets for the fridge? I'm not sure why, but clearly not for someone who wanted to like, keep it there forever. That's not why they have fridge magnets, so you put them on. You put them on a little, you take them off. So therefore, we assume that none of that is called tofer. There's no issue to put a magnet on your fridge on Shabbos, again, unless you're writing something with letter magnets, then that's a problem because of kosev, but not because of tofer. I think everyone agrees. If I say happy birthday, mom, on my fridge, that's kosev.
Even playing with magnets is completely fine as well?
Yeah, like magnet tiles. I think that's completely fine. Or, you know, if the kids play with the letter magnets on the fridge, let's say the little kids who don't know how to spell things, then that's okay.
Pretty good regarding Bona, like they have like magnet blocks in the same.
Ah, so in terms of bonat, meaning it's not tekiah when you do the magnet blocks, right? That's called magnet tiles. Yeah, it's clearly not tekiah. The only shaila is are you making an ohel, a tefach by a tefach by a tefach space that you're going to use inside, b'chuli. So the simple pshat is that it's probably okay. Number one, it's not tekiah. And you usually don't make an ohel, tefach by a tefach by a tefach. And, you know, even if you do make an ohel, the tefach by a tefach, you usually don't plan to use the space inside, and so I don't think it's a big deal. You know, theoretically, so it's mamish building a real ohel, it could be also because of ohel. But that's usually not how kids, even when kids make like houses with it, they don't make houses to have little guys inside the houses and little furniture inside the houses. They just make houses look like a nice shape from the outside. So I don't think that's a problem. Now, here's the famous controversial part. You might know people who are very machmir on these things. How about unsticking the tabs before you put it on. Right? Before you put the diaper on, when they had sticky diapers, even the Velcro diapers, a lot of them, you use Velcro to put them on and off, but there's a little stickiness when you unpack them from the package that like keeps them stuck during transport, and you have to like take off a little stickiness first, and band-aids, meaning you have to do korea. Here I'm talking about tofer.
Why is that no different than
tofer?
Package.
Korea. 1 second. Okay. I'm going to say it one more time, and I'm going to. It's my chisaron. I'm going to say it one more time and try to be exceedingly clear why all this different than packages. In packages, when you rip a package, both sides of what you rip are garbage and are not kosher. That's a special heter. All the shaylos we're dealing with here are when one side is not kosher, but the other side is kosher. That's a real tofer. That's real tofer. That's why it's different than packages. Because one side is what you want to make more useful. You're making one side more useful by throwing out the non-useful side. That's real malacha. A package, you're making both sides not useful. It's all garbage. There's no chashivas here. You're dafka doing korea. You take off one part to improve the second part. That's mamish korea, like in the Mishnah, perhaps. You know, not 100% clear, but at the very least, it might be like korea in the Mishkan. You can imagine if I'm weaving cloth, I'm making clothing or something, it was too much, so I tear off the extra parts, so that the other part will be a finished product. That's malacha. That's not like a wrapper. This would be like, for example, in a wrapper, if it wasn't a wrapper, it was like a special bag, and I tore off the extra so I'd leave the right size to use. That's malacha. Okay, so what about unsticking the tab before you put it on? Right, in Band-Aids, you have to unstick the Band-Aids, and in diapers, you have to take off the tab. So this is the machlokas has in the vush, right? This is machlokas taz and levush, right? Because for the taz, it's usser. It's been for many days. But for the levush, it's mutter because it was. That's by definition temporary. This tabs on the band-aids is called temporary even if it would be for 100 years. Even if you discover one from like the cavemen, it's called temporary because it's only until you're ready to use it. That has no chashivos of time. However, in this case, there are yesh machmirim. Yesh machmirim not to use band-aids on Shabbos unless they, what if they need band-aids on Shabbos? So on Friday, they take like three or four band-aids, they unstick the tags and stick them back only for a day till Shabbos. And now it's only stuck for a day, so it's okay. And on the diapers, they unstick, right? For various technical reasons, I used to do this when my kids were in diapers. But not because I was so macher on this, but for other reasons, it just turned out to be convenient. They unstick the tabs on Friday afternoon, stick them back. Now it's just till Shabbos, 24 hours. And if Ezer will say, well, what if it's 25 hours because of Ben Shmashas, whatever. So we assume that we're not machmir on that. And that's the machmir. However, the minhaga olam is l'hakel on this, but they point out there's a big tab l'hakel on this more so than here. Here, it's even more mutter than stitch tags. Why is it more mutter than stitch tags? Because there's another svar lahakel. What's the other svar lahakel here? Do you really call this glue? Remember, Velcro is not tofer, because it's not something which most human beings use for a long time. It's buttoning is, what if I button a shirt and put it on a hanger to save for my grandson's wedding? You know, in 50 years, whatever, even less than that. Okay, whatever it may be. My great-grandson's wedding. No, since buttons are not used by most human beings for a long time, that's not called tofer. So, people say, hold on a second, there's two kinds of stickiness. There's Elmer's glue and scotch tape, which is meant to last a long time. That's a told of tofer. Then there's the band-aids. You ever notice like the tabs of the band-aids are that shiny stuff that doesn't really stick? Right, if you take off the tab of the band-aids, you see it's very shiny. Why? They make it of a special kind of plastic that doesn't stick well, so it won't be hard to get off. Why is it so easy to peel it off? If I stick a band-aid onto a piece of paper, it's really hard to get off. Like loosely paper. If I stick it onto that tab, it's really easy to get off. Why? Because the tab is specially made to not stick well. Post-it flags. How come they come off so much more easily than scotch tape or post-it notes? Because they're made a special kind of glue that doesn't stick well. And band-aids, the glue on the band-aids stick well, but the tabs don't stick well. The same for diapers. On diapers, it's also, when you pick up a diaper, you see it's like shiny, like they have the band-aid. They make it special so it won't stick well. So the other time it is that regular glue and tape is a told of tofer. But if it's a special kind that's manufactured to not stick well, then that's not similar to Fira, that's similar to Velcro. It's the question, can you split glue in half? There's like real gluing and inferior gluing. But the chap here is, it's not just the people did it for a short time. The glue itself is weak glue, or it's a weak substance. So this is more mutter because the glue itself is weak. And not just it happens to be weak because it's poor quality, like your Elmer's glue, you got a dud Elmer's glue. No, they make a special kind of glue on the diapers and the band-aids and a special surface that doesn't stick well. Now, the band-aid is clever. It's glue that sticks well to skin, but doesn't stick well to this thing. But since it's manufactured specially to not stick well, maybe that's even more makel than the taz and the lavush. They were talking about real sewing and real knotting, etc. But over here, it's made specially not to stick well. Let me give you an example. Your band-aid, the tab will stay in your band-aid forever as long as it's wrapped in that wrapper, because there's nowhere to go. Let's say you took it out of the wrapper, a brand new band-aid. You took the wrapper off and just left it on your counter. And you, what do you do on your counter? You push it sometimes, you pull it, you know, whatever. You put other things on your counter, you just let it sit in the air. I bet after a week it would fall off. I haven't tried it. But, you know, because it's specially made to not stick well. So therefore, that's a big tzad l'hakon. That's why I think you don't have to be machmir by the diapers and the band-aids. I think you don't have to be machmir. And even l'chachila. And you don't have to worry about using band-aids on Shabbos or diapers on Shabbos for this reason, because you have two tzadim l'hakel. Number one, the lavush, which Rosh Shlomo Zalman says we call me'ikar din, we hold like the lavush. But even if you wouldn't be me'ikar like the lavush, me'ikar din, even if you don't want to be so me'ikar din, you want to be machmir by taking the tabs that are sewn to the clothing, still, this is much more kal, because it's a special kind of glue that's made to be like Velcro and snaps and buttons, and not to be like needle and thread. And therefore, maybe it's not even a tzura, not only is it not a kayama, it might not even be a tzura of tzura in the first place. So here, the kayama is different and the tzura is different.
What about certain packaging that, like, I don't know, I know in Eretz Yisrael you find a lot of, like, shtei merach, they have that sticker that they put on it in order that you can close the bag after you're done, in order that the...
The sticker on the shtei merach to close the bag afterwards.
You get on a lot of other products also that is like, manufactured on that. Yeah, Big West also has that sticky tab that you close this to
The baby wipes also, right? Has that. Unless you have very fancy ones with like a plastic thing. But most of them just have the sticky tab. And the sticky tab, we know it's not very good because after like a while, if you don't use the wipes fast enough, it stops closing and then all your wipes dry out. And you thought you saved money by buying the cheaper ones and you really didn't, which is in general a life lesson, and especially in Ruchnius. That, you know, whatever looks easier and cheaper in the short run is not necessarily good in the long run. Okay. What about those things? So those things are also, those are special sticky things that are not made to, that are not made to last a long time, right? And the chora, those are also just until you, you know, maybe those are very similar to the shoes, what?
They have some, like, packages also, like on Oreos in America. Like, you see this.
Oreos?
Oreos, yeah.
Yeah, Oreos, now they have this, this system that you, I don't know if it would be a question of moping, because right, they put on the letters. When you open it, it like, erases the letters.
Not
the
Oreos.
When you open it, erases the letters?
I'm bringing you a package of Oreos next time in America.
Okay.
Guarantee it.
I don't know. Okay, let's assume that maybe that's at least not a sick ratio of erasing the letters. I don't know exactly how it works. But what about all those things? So, those things also, first of all, you clothe them for a very... You clothe them for a shorter time than any of these things. Well, what about the first time you open it? Yeah. Right? The first time you open it, who knows how long it's been, who knows how long it's been like that. Hold on the baby wipes, doesn't the first time you have to rip it more seriously?
Yes, it's sealed well.
What?
It's sealed well.
No, but don't you even have to rip the plastic itself the first time a little?
Sometimes.
It might depend which. Okay, let's assume you're not ripping the piece of plastic itself. Because if you're ripping the piece of plastic itself, then you're ripping something that was never separated before. That's for sure a problem. Let's say you're just undoing the sticky. If you're just undoing a sticky that was only stuck temporarily until the consumer was ready to use the object, and it's made to not be too sticky, then I think that's the same heter as the band-aids and the diapers, and it's okay. How about when you stick it back when you finish the wipes? I think that's also okay, because first of all, it's for less than a day usually until you need the wipes again, even if it's for more than a day, it's less than a week, and it's made to not be so sticky. Again, a week is sort of b'shas hadchak, but, you know, b'tzir of other things, then I think you can make on that. Post-it flags are interesting.
And this game I won't eat soup unless it's really Shabbos, so it's like Friday.
What about closing the Shkedei Marak, and it's going to be stuck till next Friday? Meaning, you know it's going to be till next Friday. You know you don't want to eat soup. Not like baby wipes. You never know when you're going to use the baby wipes, and use them all the time. What if your baby B'mikra decides not to dirty his diaper for a day? Okay, that's it. What about the Shkedei Merak? If you're closing them for, you know you don't eat soup during the week. I don't know, narrowly, that I still think that whenever you eat soup, you're going to open these, and it's not really so sticky anyway. And it's less than a week anyway. I think you can still be mako. The post-it flags are I'll come back to it in a second though. Definitely the ikra din, I'd say this room. The posted flags are actually a little more interesting because the posted flags, first of all, you leave for, sometimes you know you're going to leave them for a long time, but it's actually a little trickier, the posted flags, because, and all these things really, like, as soon as you're ready to use it, you need to, like, take this off. The posted flags, adra, but, like, you could turn to that page and look something up on that page and leave the posted flag on. And to sometimes I put a posted flag, now we're up to in a safer. When I really want to remember something is that I might need to look up again soon. You know, so the posted flags are tricky, and sometimes you might think to leave them for a long time. On the other hand, they're clearly made of inferior glue. Clearly made of inferior glue, the posted flags. So they for sure have the heter of inferior glue, the posted flags. Even though it's not clear they have the heter of levush, because you could use them without moving the posted flags. Right? You can't each get in a rock without moving this thing. So the posted flags, there are different opinions about this. I asked Rabbi Willig about the posted flags. By the posted flags, you have the post-it flags, or start marks. You have the sad lahatir of weak glue. But it's not so clear. They give another sad lahatir. Nonetheless, I asked Rabbi Willig about it. He said, me'ikra din, if you move posted flags, it's mutter. But, and this is what Rabbi Willig said, he says, in every shayla on this board, even if you think it's really mutter, it's better lechatchila to avoid it. He said, band-aids and diapers, whatever. You can't avoid band-aids and diapers, and you don't have to be matriarch yourself overly much. But all these things, even the Shkidim Arak, Rabbi Willig says, you know what, if you could crumple it up without using the sticker, so better to avoid. Yeshon, we're better to avoid everything if it's not a tircha. But the posted flags, even the posted flags, if one wants to be makel, then they have what to be somichan. Okay, that was a little bit of a tangent about tofer, but it's things that really come up a lot.
Is that to move them, or is that to like take a new one out of the package and put it in?
Both. Both.
I think this just a few weeks ago, cereal boxes that you open, it's like attached with like a glue, and then you open it and you...
How about opening up the cereal boxes?
You're not going to eat all the food at once. So.
Right, you're not going to eat all the food at once with Korea.
There's like two things, don't there? There's the box and then the cereal itself.
The box and the cereal itself, yeah. Right? So, I think that the post-mortem makel, that if you do it in a way that... there are those who are machmir, that you have to like ruin them when you open it. I personally, if I open a cereal box on Shabbos, I open it in a way that ruins it. What?
You just be a machmir, like open and like, normally so you can like, close it.
Yeah, but lemaisa, if you just open something the normal way, then I think we say it's mutter. If you're not like specially trying to. If you're not specially trying to improve it, you just open it the normal way, because that's the simplest way to open it. Cereal boxes, I think for sure that's true.
Well, cereal boxes, because you want to open normally so you can put like, your clothes and tab back in.
Right, you can pull the tab back in when you open it, when you open it normally, but you're not like tearing it special to like get the tab back in. Like, that's just what that's already built in. It just has like two drops of glue. And so I think that Lamaisa, we hold that it's mutter to open those because even though you're still going to use a cereal box to leave out the cereal, since you're not really trying to improve the cereal box, meaning it already has all those flaps, just someone put two bits of glue on it. And you're going to throw it out as soon as you throw out the food, and it doesn't have chashiva, it's not like a suit that you're going to wear forever. Yes, but since you're going to throw it out when you throw out the food, then we hold that it's mutter, I think, that's the minig olam, that you can open normally.
So that brings me back to the question on number two. So, isn't the fact that I'm going to throw out the band-aid...
Yes, so some people say whatever you're throwing out in the garbage doesn't have chashivas, and even though I have to, like, carry it to the garbage, whatever, that's just for 3 seconds, that's temporary. There are those who say whatever you're throwing in the garbage doesn't count. However, certainly since it's easy not to rely on that, you don't have to tie it up so neatly. It's not such a big tircha, so I think we should not rely on that. I think that's what Shmir Shabbos says. Okay.
What about pages with Dr. Fresh stuck together?
Ah, great question. What about pages that are stuck together? So, all the Achronim write, you can't separate the pages on Shabbos. And everyone thinks they know what that means and they're all wrong. When Achronim say you can't separate the pages on Shabbos, what do they mean? Anyone ever know how they used to sell new books? You know, how do they print books? They print on big pages, then they cut them or fold them up to make the smaller pages, and then they bind them into a book. The way they used to sell a book in the time of the Achronim, like back in Europe, not like 500 years ago, even 100 years ago, is print on big pages, fold it up, sew it into a book, and then when you bought it, you have to like cut the pages, because some of them were still folded from the bigger pages. That's an Issur D'oraisa on Shabbos. As a matter of fact, it was known, there were all these jokes about from Europe, etc. Maybe you heard these stories about, right, you go to someone's house and they have a fancy shas, you check if the pages are cut or not. You know, so whatever the gut will stay in the house, and you check the pages are cut, that's when you knew whether to make a shidduch or something. It's all these stories. That's the pages are cut. Even nowadays, sometimes, I know my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein didn't like to, like, complain about how people did bad jobs and just be like a cantankerous old man, and he hated to complain about quality of things. You know, how can this so poor quality? Except for one thing. Sifrei Kodesh. That was an inyan of Kavod HaTorah, he felt. And he always complained how he thinks it's a bizoyin, not inconvenience, a bizoyin HaTorah, that if you buy, I mean, he didn't know to say this, a Tom Clancy novel, the pages, whether hardcover or paperback, the pages are always perfect, and the book is always perfectly printed. You never find a problem. If you buy a Ritva, or any other, or a Gemara, or a Rambam, half the time, I'm sure this has happened to you. They have like the same 60 pages twice instead of a different 60 pages, you know. And why? Because it's less chashuv than Tom Clancy. It really is a gamin kavod haTorah, the printers. That like, I don't mean just because they're ganovim from the customers, but also it's not kavod haTorah. And also, I find often, I never found this in a secular book, but I find often in Sifrei Kodesh, sometimes like it got folded in the machine. And like you have two pages in the back of the rift someplace or something that are still attached here, you fold it out, still attached. Cutting that is for sure Asur on Shabbos. Okay, but if anyone ever grows up to have influence over printers of Sifrei Kodesh, they should remember Rav Aaron said that it's a Bizayin HaKodesh, that they treat it, you know, with less chashivas than a Tom Clancy novel. Right, I'm sure in the Gush farm you wouldn't find this. Yeah, in general, the more modern publishers, I think, are more makra on this, just because they're aware of the standards of the modern world. But that has nothing to do. A lot of times what happens is, sometimes pages get stuck together. It's like a bit of food gets there, or something like falls there. Or like sometimes in the factory, when they glued the binding, a drop of glue got on something. That is actually mutter to separate on Shabbos. Why? Because that's temporary tefira. The poskim write, you can find in Shemiyot Zayin Rakosha, that any tefira that was done by accident is defined as temporary, even if it lasted for 100 years. If no one ever meant to do it in the first place, that's called benachos temporary. So if a little drop of glue accidentally dropped on the pages, or food got stuck on the page and they got stuck together, everyone agrees it's mutter to separate those, and that's not what the Achronim meant, because that's separating temporary tefira, because anything done by accident is called temporary. So you're actually allowed to separate the pages if they got stuck by accident. You're only not allowed to separate the pages if they are still like attached from the page in the printer that no one ever cut yet. Okay, just one other thing. As long as we're talking about separating things, there's a famous machlokas brought down in the Shmir Shabbos Gochas and the Orcha Shabbos about the yogurt containers. Not can you tear off the top of the yogurt containers on Shabbos? You mentioned earlier that's mutter to everyone but the Shulchan Aruch Rav. No, you're not going to help us there. But they come, two or four of them are attached.
Right, to break them.
Right, and you have to break them apart from each other. So the Orch Shabbos in Perik Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, brings down a machlokes. Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Shmir Shabbos Gochasa, says that's totally mutter on Shabbos. Heter Gomer. It's not a Shasha Makim Patish because they're finished products already. Just it's convenient to transport them to have them like attached a little, but they're already finished products. What? No, it's not about Korea. It's back to Makib and Patish. Meaning, is this like taking the extra parts off the clothing, etc.? So Shlomo Zalman says no. It's already a finished product. Rav Yashiv says yes. the way to finish manufacturing is to break them apart. And so Rabbi Yosef says, "Shasha makabu patish," to separate the yogurt containers. The Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa Paskin Veshur Shlomo Zalman, that it is mutter to separate the yogurt containers. Me'ikra, then we hold like Shlomo Zalman that it's mutter to separate the yogurt containers on Shabbos. However, it's certainly lechachila to separate them before Shabbos in my house when we buy yogurt in the first place. I try to be makbid to have the kids or to separate the yogurts when we buy them in the first place, not wait till Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon, we have enough to worry about. But if you did that way, we don't have to worry about Friday afternoon, and we don't have to worry about Shabbos. But me'ikra din, you can be mako. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, it's not considered an unfinished product. It's considered a finished product already, and therefore, it's not a malacha to separate them. Okay.
To be considered a finished product, you have to be able to use it in its current form.
Well, you're for sure able to use it in its current form.
No, I'm saying if there are four yogurts connected to each other, in order for it to be considered a finished product, it would have to be derech to eat one of the yogurts while they're still attached.
It might not have to be the derech, but it has to certainly be possible, which it is. Okay, now let's talk about a few more halachos, at least quickly. If you will flip through your Shulchan Aruch with me, get your flipping fingers ready. Simin Shin Mem Seif Ches. Shin Mem Seif Ches reminds us of what we already discussed about the shoelaces and the belts. Mochin Shenafla, but this is the original case of the Gemara. That was just an extrapolation. Mochin Shenafla and a Keses, stuffing that fell out of a pillow or a mattress, motelachzirim, you can put it back. Aval also lit them in tchilah b'kesses, but you can't put it in the first place. Why can't you put it in the first place? Not always shown them agree, but we paskin because it's makom patish to put it in the first place, but once it's already made, that's just considered maintenance. To put them back is not a problem. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins, I think, like most Rishonim, that says the reason is because of avad leimana, because of makom patish. Now, this brings up, we already discussed, what do we extrapolate from this? Belts and shoelaces we discussed. But something I forgot to discuss already is, what about blowing up air? What about blowing up things with air? That's very similar to this. Like, as a matter of fact, mattress. Most mattresses have stuffing inside. I mean, now they have springs and fancy stuff. Some mattresses have air inside. So what about blowing up something with air? So, says the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa, balloons, regular balloons, are obviously also to blow up on Shabbos, having nothing to do with Makom Patish. Why is it also to blow a balloon on Shabbos? Because you usually make a permanent knot, and anything which you would usually make a permanent knot is Gzeira Shema Yikshur, as we saw. So a regular balloon, meaning that you usually tie, regular balloons you tie. Even if you're not planning on tying it, but it's usher, because since it's something you usually tie, that's an exera that you might tie it.
You have chances are that knot's not going to be lasting.
What do you mean? When you tie a balloon, it always lasts forever, the knot. The balloon might pop. The knot stays.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Okay. And besides the fact, it's indefinite. It's, okay. But the knot stays. However, what about blowing up beach balls, or for that matter, basketballs, or footballs, or soccer balls, or air mattresses, or, I don't know, are there other things we blow up? Who knows? That is a big machlokas. There are two main opinions on this. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa and the Orcha Shabbos. I'm not going to say where it is because it's all in the Makor sheet. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa and the Orcha Shabbos says that it's also to blow something up on Shabbos for the first time. But if you already blew it up once and the air came out, you can blow it up again, just like the cushions. However, not everyone agrees. This is not in the Makoros. But if you look, for example, in the Piskei Tshuvas here, he quotes from the Minchas Yitzchak and others, they say it's usher because if the air went out, now you're putting in different air. You're not allowed to put in different stuffing, you're only allowed to put in the same stuffing. The Shmir Shabbos Kachasa says back, all air is the same. There are different pieces of air. It's just the atmosphere. Yes?
Isn't the issue back to the stuffing that you're starting, like, it's bona from, like, Mikhadash, you're starting old. So, let's say half the stuffing fell out, and then you put in new.
No, that's still a problem.
What? You're not building from scratch anymore. You have the most of the fill-out.
I mean, it's an interesting question. I guess more so if you could use it as is, even. That's an interesting question. I mean, if enough fell out, there's that you can't even use it, then I would say that's as if there's nothing left. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure. We'll come back to it. We know. So lemaisa, what if you're talking about blowing up air? Right? Who's in charge of the board? Okay. So again, if you're blowing something up for the first time, everyone agrees that's usser. Because that's like putting the stuffing in. If you're blowing it up for the second time, the Minchas Yitzchak and others say usser. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa and the Orchas Shabbos say mutter, because all air is the same. It's as if you're putting back the same air. I asked Rabbi Willig about this. He says it's mutter, but still it's better to avoid just because it's a machlokas and blow it up before Shabbos. But it's really mutter, like the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. And he says it's especially mutter if it's a beach ball, because that you only blow up temporarily. You're not even necessarily mevatel it. It's one thing if you blow up your football or your basketball, it's meant to last indefinitely. But if you blow up your beach ball, usually you blow it up and undo it every time you go to the beach or every time you play with it. So if it's something which you undo every time you play, you know, you empty out every time you play with it, then it's even more makel, because it's like putting the wrong color shoelaces. You're not mevatel. An air mattress, usually people use an air mattress, they blow it up once, and then they... Now, the truth is, an air mattress on Shabbos is tricky just because you're not allowed to use electricity. They have foot pumps, but, and the Shmir Shabbos also lets you use a foot pump. But it's a bit of a pain, I don't know, I can see if the Tircha maybe. Okay, the Shmir Shabbos costs a matter.
Makan Patish.
Not Bona, because there's no Tkia.
So you could deflate a mattress on Shabbos.
Pashtus, yeah, because deflating, right, Makan Patish is no isser of doing the opposite. Yeah. Again, you can't use the electric pump to deflate it, so it might not be worth it practically.
Oh, you just jump on it.
Okay, but it all depends. Yeah. I mean, if you want to deflate it fully, trust me, it's much easier with an electric pump. You just put it the other direction. Okay. Anyway, Lemaisa, so once something's been inflated once, you could reinflate it on Shabbos. Although, if you could do it before Shabbos, that would be ideal. Let us move to Simen Shin Lamed Ches. In Siman Shin Lamed Ches is really the Gemara about making noise. But Agav making noise, the clocks are things that make noise, and Agav that, the Shari Tshuva brings down, the big famous Machlokas Achronim about winding a watch on Shabbos. This, by the way, the Chazon Ish points out, is very similar to the Machlokas about turning on electric appliances on Shabbos, although not exactly the same. Meaning you're not really fixing anything, but you're making it work. Right? What about winding a watch on Shabbos? So if you look in the Shari Tshuva and the Mishnah Berurah here, right, the Shari Tshuva really on the daf is the first one to bring this whole discussion, and then the Mishnah Berurah summarizes it. There are two different cases. One is winding a watch that's stopped, and the other is winding a watch that is still going. So winding a watch that's stopped, is that considered a problem of Makabe Patish or not? On the one hand, you're taking a non-working watch and making it work. On the other hand, you're not fixing it. This is just the way you use it. So the big machlok, as they quote here, the Panim Eros says mutter. The Panim Eros says mutter. Oh, come on. You never like saw movies from the old days? Before electricity. Before electricity.
I'm talking about like turning them out, right?
No, before electricity, what made your watch work? Like, what was the power of the watch? Before batteries, what made it turn? The answer is, every night, yeah, that's one option. The other option is, every night, you adjust this thing, you adjust... Turn it. That wound the spring, which gave it power. And the power of that swing, as it unwound slowly, made the clock tick. You know like a wind-up toy? We still have wind-up toys. You wind it up, there's power in the spring, and slowly that spring releases and makes something happen. That's how clocks watch. But if you can imagine, the clocks do very little. It just moves a very light hand. So you wind it for 30 seconds, and for more than a day, it will make that tick. As the spring unwinds, that's just a way of storing, turning energy into potential energy, whatever they call it in high school, etc. That's how watches worked in the old days. You wound them. That's what they talk about. Pulling the string on the Zeiger. Right? Zeiger is a clock. Right? If you ask an old, what time is it? 8 o'clock. In the grandfather clocks, maybe sometimes they would pull a string, which then wound the coil. But it was just winding a spring, and then, oh no, it's like a wind-up toy. Exactly like a wind-up toy.
We're not talking about when you have to set the watch.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the wind-up. We're talking about something that doesn't apply to modern-day watches.
And that would be also the point.
We'll get there.
Okay.
So, now, our modern-day watches would be like switching the battery. Okay, switching the batteries is usher because we usher electricity, so it's a double faucet, right? But in their days, they would wind the clock. It worked on human power, on a spring. It was a wind-up toy. So how about winding the clock? So let's say your watch stopped. Now you wind it, it starts going again. So the punter viewer says, Mutter, that's use. That's not...
This is called use. It's not fixing. It's using.
However, the Sharichu and the Mishabura quotes from the Chaye Adam and the Prima Gadim and who else does he quote here first? The Shilas Yabe says the Min against the Aser. The Yabe also says Mutter, just a Min against the Aser. But he quotes, so the Hanami Eros and the Yabe says it's Mutter. Because it's use, it's called use, but minhag is not to. Meaning, it seems to me in their days people didn't do it so much. The Mishnah Yavetz of Rabbi Tzal Jolti from the 20th century Yerushalayim. This is the Yavetz of Yaakov Emden. Like the Siddur Yavetz, the Hagos Yavetz in the back of the Gemara, he has a little, and the Shelos Yavetz. His father was the Chacham Tzvi, no? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, he quotes from the Chaye Adam and the Prima Gadim, and the Chaz Ish also agrees, obviously not going to the Shavura, says Aser, maybe even Chayev, because it's called fixing. It's broken, and now you're fixing it. This is the Chazon Ish L'shitasa, by the way, that he thinks an Isidore writes to turn on electric appliance. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you're just using it. The Chazon Ish says, no, when something doesn't have power and all of a sudden gets power, that's like creating something. The Chazon Ish says, and his raya is from the Zachron about the clock. Says, aren't you just using your watch? He says, no, when something doesn't have power and all of a sudden gets power, that's malacha, says the Chazon Ish. Now, Rosh Hashanah would say, even though the clock was off, so that's because you only wound it once in a blue moon. Electric appliances, you turn it on and off all the time. Still was there. But okay, we're not getting into that now. This is a big machlokas, halacha l'mayis, so we say, aser legamre. We are totally machmir on this. I don't think anyone matters winding watch anymore. Now, not so much of an afkamina, because we don't have watches anymore that you wind. But, lemaisa,
I like a toy. I
don't feel it's also, we'll get to that in a second.
I don't
feel wind up watches, so you can't wind it on Shabbos. Now, however, the bigger machlokas is, what about while it's still working? Let's say you know how long it's going to go stop, it's going to run out of power in 2 hours. So, you wind it now, it'll last another day and a half. So, it's hard to say it's broken, because it's working now. So this is one case. Second case is winding a watch while it's still going. Right? Just, it'll make you go longer. So this is a big machlokes. The Panami Iro says Mutter or Vadya Paskins Mutter.
Right.
Ravadya in the Yachavadas says that's Mutter, you're not fixing anything. Right. Most Achronim say Usr. However, this Isser is not so clear. This might only be Usr to the Minhag Usr, or so that people won't get confused, and therefore says the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa. If you look in the Shmir Shabbos Golchasa, how he formulates this, he says in Perek Chavches, Halacha, Chavches, he says, Sha'on Mekani, Asr L'chor Nova Shabbat, Mekim Sheish B'Kafesh of Isser Tikkun Kli. V'ein lechanano chon gamishal shashon po'el, but he says, it's mutter if it's still working, to tell a goy to do it, or if you need it for a mitzvah or a chola, or like to wake you up for shul or no shul or something like that. That's but no, that yeah, the oh, 1 second. What does Mishnah Berurah bring down? I think he does bring down these achronim. What does he say? He says al de'en Yehudi, it's you can be mekel, and he says even with a Jew for a chola, right? You can be mekel, but mutter for chola. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Or mitzvah, that's the Shmir Shabbos, he didn't make it up, he's quoting lots of modern day achronim. So really, winding when it stopped, we're very machmer on. Winding when it's still going, we're machmer, l'chachila, and they all say if you have a guy, tell a guy to do it, but if you don't have a guy, you need it even for a mitzvah or a chol, it's not the end of the world, then you can be mekel, because really, mekel din, we are mekel in this, we're just no hig, l'chachmir. Another case is, as long as we're talking about watches, is, says the Shmir Shabbos. So what about, and this is very interesting, this is not an all pashut, but, alright, let's just mention a few cases. I'll mention them outside. What about changing the time on the watch?
On a regular watch now?
On a clock. So what about changing the time on a clock? So says, give me a second, says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he says, he says someplace here, Seh Rav Avadya says, Mutar, the Shmir Shabbos says, Mutar l'chonin l'chogesha on l'sha medu yeket. You're allowed to set the time. He says, that's not considered fixing it.
Only on a mechanical
time. Ah, so he says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa and others, and most poskim, mutter, but not on a regular watch. Because in a regular watch, how do you set the time? No. On this watch, you pulling it, you turn it off. You set the time, then by pushing it in, you turn it back on again. You're not allowed to turn on an electric appliance on Shabbos. It stops ticking while you set the time. So that's turning off and on an electric appliance. But, for example, that clock is electric. But when you move the time, it doesn't turn off. So on that clock you could, but on a watch you can. And the Shmir Shabbos says this, but not on an electric watch, because you have to turn it off and on, and we all know we're not allowed to turn off and on electrical appliances on Shabbos. But on an electric wall clock you can. I can move that time, let's say daylight savings time, I can move it an hour, because it doesn't stop working while I change the time. Most of them. I mean, I'm not saying low plug. You have to check. Okay, the whole discussion of alarm clocks in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Ayin Sham, basically, he's generally electric alarm clocks is a problem, because electricity, if you have mechanical alarm clock, I don't think they sell them anymore, so it's not so nogeil levaisa. The one other thing I wanted to mention is, what about an automatic clock? An automatic watch. There are automatic watches that, nowadays they made these fancy watches, that the way you wind them is just by moving. Every time you move your hand, it winds it. Like, any movement of your hand somehow winds the mechanism inside. Don't ask me how to build such a watch.
They sell stands that are constantly moving. You don't wear your watch for a certain amount of time.
If you take it off.
Right.
Right. But if you keep it on, I think even in your sleep, you move enough to keep it going if you like have day and night, etc.
Also, if you want to wear it for a day or so you can't.
Correct, right. Meaning it lasts a day. Right. Willie said he checked it out, it lasts a day. So what about self-winding watches? Meaning they don't self-wind. Just your movement makes them wind. So says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa and Rav Poskim. They say it's mutter, meaning it's better than winding a watch that's still going. But then you wind a watch that's still going, that's seen as fixing it. Over here, it's just a normal mode of use, so everyone agrees that's mutter. What's controversial is, and then, now, how about electric watches? So electric watches, push it, you can't flip the battery, push it, you can't change the time. There are electric watches that When you bring them into the sunlight, they charge. Like, they charge from sunlight, not only sunlight, from any light. But we assume those are also mutter, because even though they charge all the time, that's just the normal way you wear them. You're not actually making anything happen. The sports watches, however, right? You know what sports watches are? I only learned this week. It's like it keeps track of your... It's used by two kinds of people. About 3% of the time, it's used by people who like exercise a lot, and it keeps track of your jogging, of your pace, and everything else for your exercise regimen. 90% to 7% of the time, it's built by people who don't want to exercise, but they figure if they count all their pace with a sports watch, maybe like they'll count and they'll feel better about themselves. So sports watches, and they monitor, some of them monitor more things, you know, it's whatever. They really, the sky's the limit. Sports watch. Anyone hear of a sports watch? Right. So sports watches, we assume, are usser. Because every time you move, right, because over here, every time you move, it doesn't just wind. Every time you move, it's like the electricity has to work, it makes the computer work to count your steps, etc., and it's something you intend to do, like you wear it for that reason. So we assume that's usher, because when you move, you are making it do something electric, or electronic at least. The big machlokus is... And with this, we'll end this part. What about wind-up toys? Or timer? What about a wind-up toy or a wind-up timer? Right, now I'm not talking about an exact timer that might be a problem measuring on Shabbos, but let's say you have, people have a yontif, right? A gas timer, right? It's very popular in Israel now for Machom Tzomet. Let's say you want to light your stove on yontif, and you're not allowed to extinguish the stove on yontif. You don't want to burn all yontif, so you just set the timer for 60 minutes. You light the stove, and it's 60 minutes worth of gas, and then it goes out by itself after 60 minutes. So that's not a problem of kivoy. The question is it a problem of makom patish? Because when you wind up anything or a wind up toy, right? They still have wind up toys.
Yeah, you push down the table.
Yeah, even those cars you push back on the table. So all those things, you're winding them up and giving them power. So this is a big machlokus. The Muktzah book quotes from Moshe Feinstein as answering like a watch. You know the Muktzah book, Rabbi Bodner? Halacha of Muktzah? It was the first English halacha book. I remember when it came out. It was a big deal. There had never been such a thing before. Hard to imagine. But it was the first English halacha book. I don't mean like a little pamphlet. I mean like a real book with makoros and footnotes and etc. It was the first halachas I ever learned properly. Was Muktzah. So, Rav Bodner, the shame Rav Moshe, says, Osir, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, the shame Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, says Mutter. Rav Bodner quotes Rav Moshe saying it's Osir, because it's like a watch, you're making it work. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, a watch is different. When the watch stops ticking, we look at it as like there's something wrong with it. Like it's mekulkal, it's broken, it needs to be, you need to do something, you need to fix it. However, these things, you wind them every time you use them. That's just the way you use them. You don't wind a watch every time you look at the time. But with these toys, you wind them every time you use them. If you wind them every time you use them, then that's just called using them. That's not called fixing them. So this is a big machlokas. I think the minig olam's lahakel here. The Orech HaShabbos doesn't pask in this one. He just says, okay, there are different opinions. Rabbi Willig says that we're makel on this, and I think that's clue in the minig olam, that people use wind-up toys on Shabbos, right? Even those little cars that you go back and then they go forwards, or other wind-up toys people use on Shabbos, because we don't consider it to be like a watch. A watch, you wind it up for a long time, and then there's something wrong if it stops working. Like, if it stops working, something's... You say mikul kal in Hebrew. I don't know if you say broken in English, but, you know, you say it's not working. Right? If your wind-up toy is not moving now, you don't say it's not working. You just say, oh, I'm not using it now. You know, can you... And you wind it every time. So that's considered normal use, not fixing, and it is water.
That applies to the timers as well.
And that applies to timers as well, yes.
Do you want to let wear a watch that has the wrong time on Shabbos?
Are you allowed to wear a watch that, I mean, are we making Xera?
I guess.
I would assume one is allowed to. If wear a watch that is the wrong time on Shabbos.
Can you wear a watch that's telling the wrong time outside of the air?
Yeah, pashtus, yes. Meaning, it's not clear if you can wear a watch that tells the right side, right time outside the Eruv. Not everyone agrees. All right, Moshe Feinstein's major. But if you can wear a watch at the wrong time, with the right time, I think you can wear it at the wrong time as well. Keep in mind, one of the big coolas, why do people say you can change the time? Because it's not broken if it has the wrong time. It still tells time. You just have to add an hour in your head. It still tells time. Meaning, I can still tell what time it is if I know how off my watch is. Right? If I know it's an hour off, then I know what time it is. I just have to add an hour. It completely stopped. Is there, it completely stopped. I can't use it to tell time. If I want to be on time for Mincha, and Mincha's at 5:45, then I know when my watch says 3:45, I have to be at Mincha. So it's still useful. If it stopped, then it's not useful anymore. Okay.
You could time yourself for a certain period of time.
Yeah, you could also, yeah, etc. Now, I want to mention one other interesting shita before we go on, of the Mincha's Usher. The Mincha's Usher has a wild shita. We'll learn a little bit on Friday about electricity on Shabbos. It's a big, big, big machlokes about electricity on Shabbos. The Chazan Ish is very famous for saying electricity is also midaraisa on Shabbos. When you turn something on, it's bona. When you turn something off, it's soser. That's just a normal way of use. You're not doing tkiya. V'chuli. Says the Chazan Ish, he doesn't care. When you give something power, that's malacha. When you take away the power, that's malacha. That's what he learns from a watch. So he says that it's midaraisa to turn on or off an electric appliance. That's the Chazan Ish. Chazan Ish is a das yachid. Most poskim agree with Rav Shlomo Zalman that there is no issur d'oraisa to use electricity on Shabbos. He says, no, that's just the way you use things. Even Rav Shlomo Zalman says, even if a watch is usur, because you don't turn on wind the watch every time you use it. But electricity, you turn it on and off every time you use it. That's called using. That's not called fixing. So most poskim agree the das yachid of the Chazan, minority opinion, probably not das yachid. Minority opinion has an issue to rice of bona and soser. The majority opinion is like Shlomo Zalman, there's no issue to rice of. Oh, so why don't we use electricity? So either it's a minhag, or Shlomo Zalman says, oh, here, this is a little further in the Torah sheet, it's like putting a smell into clothing. There's an issue to rabbanon to make something like have a new power. Like if something didn't used to smell, now it smells, that's issue to rabbanon because it looks like improving it. So if it used to be on, and now it's off, and now it's on, that's an issue to rabbanon. That it looks like there's something improved about it. Okay, so Shlomo Zalman says that worse than Issur d'Rabbanan, and the Chazan Ish says an Issur d'Oraisa of Bona. The Minchas Asher came up with recently with a tremendous chiddush. He says that it's an Issur d'Oraisa of Makim Patish, use electricity. Why? He says because if you remember, if the Rishalmi said that anything that's a malacha, if it fits into one of the early 38 categories, it's one of them. And if it doesn't fit into the other 38, it must be makim patish. Makim patish is anything that's not in one of the other 38. So he says, it's obvious to us that using electricity is malacha. It seems creative. If it seems creative, and it's not one of the other 38, it must be makim patish. That's a tremendous chiddush of the Minchas Asher. He's basically saying, well, it's obviously malacha, and it doesn't actually fit into anything. So magically, it's makim patish. Okay, that's a chiddush. I don't know if no one agrees with him now, but who knows? Maybe people will start agreeing with him. You never know. Until now, there have only been two opinions. Chazan Ish says bona, and Rav Shlomo Zalman says not an issur d'oraisa at most, an issur d'rabbanan. But he has this big chiddush that, like Chazan Ish says, not that we know it's malacha, we know it's bona. He says we know it's malacha, but it's not any malacha. So therefore, it's makim patish. That's the Minchas Asher's chiddush. You can look it up. Yeah.
Is there anyone in the realm of Halacha that tries to put Matir, that actually wants the Matir electricity?
No, there's clearly a minute to assert it at the very least. It's clearly at least a minute to assert it. What?
Except for? On Yom Tov, some people like turn on.
Right, so on Yom Tov, I don't know if there are that many people left like that, only very few, who still think it's okay on Yom Tov, because like fire. And conservative Jews, with all due respect to conservative Jews, who are very, very nice, wonderful people, and many of whom are really being Oved Hashem the best they can, given their limited Jewish education and knowledge of true philosophy. But I don't think we can paskin Minhag Yisrael based on conservative Jews. Okay, even though there are many very, very, very nice, wonderful people. Some of whom are really trying to do the best they can, but just were, for reasons that we don't understand, we're never zocha to learn about Judaism. Okay, now let's just take a few minutes. There were a few other things I wanted to discuss about. Number one, there are three things that Chazal answered because they look like fixing something. They're not the rights of fixing something, but they look like tikkun kli. What are those things? So let's see if we can briefly. We can wait. If you look in Siman Shin Chaf Gimel, he quotes a Gemara in Beitza, it's usher to toivel on Shabbos, to tovel kalim on Shabbos. Siman Shin Chaf Gimel, usher to tovel kalim on Shabbos. The Gemara has a four-way machlokes amoraim, why it's usher to tovel kalim on Shabbos. By the way, stam kalim in the Gemara, what does it mean when the Gemara says kalim? What do they usually mean?
Clothing,
right? Kalim in the Gemara usually means clothing. I don't mean Maseches Kalim is not only about clothing. I mean usually it means clothing. The example they had in mind was clearly clothing, for a reason we'll see in a second. There are four opinions as to why it's usher to tovel on Yom Kippur, and obviously on Shabbos. One opinion was Rav Yosef Shema Yiskot. You might bring it out afterwards. Right? If you total your shirt, you might do schita. I mean, I would. Right? I mean, I would try to remember on Shabbos and yet not to. But I might make a mistake. Rabbi says, Shema Yishaheh. You might wait to tovel it until Yontif. And what's a better waiting to tovel until Yontif? Yavo de tekali. You'll be time of your truma. You'll be chayim misvidei shamayim. The yavo Lide Takala. You might wait to tovel your kalim until Yontif because you're busy working. You have to finish all your work before Yontif. And then meanwhile, you'll be Matami your Truma and you will Michai Misvidei Shemayim. Rabba says, is there a Rabba? Anyone help me? Shema Yavi Renu Dalet Amos. There's Shosa Rabbim. And the fourth opinion is Rabba. Nireh kemitaken. It looks like tikkun kli. How do we paskin? What's the nafkamina? Nowadays, do we total clothing?
No.
Nowadays, do we have to worry about eating truma that's tameh and tuma vitara? Unfortunately, no. Nowadays, we only total new kalim from goyim. That's not what they're discussing in the Gemara in Beitza. They're discussing tuma vitara. How does that apply to our kalim? So, just Bekitzer says the. Says the riff. The riff paskins like reasons 1 and 2. Therefore, says the Rosh, that mutter to tovel kli suda. That's what we call our tefillah. You're allowed to tovel a fork or a knife or a glass nowadays on Shabbos. Because there's no chash of schita, because you can't squeeze it, and there's no chash of takala, because you can't do a big aveira. What's the worst that'll happen? You'll drink from the glass without toveling it once? That's not a big aveira. That's barely an aveira darabana. Right? Meaning, you're not chayav anything for doing that. He says, mutter. However, and the Rambam in one place, the steer in the Rambam, we won't go into now, says mutter. However, the Rush and the Rashba, the Rush themselves, meaning not the Rush and the Riff, say no, we're choshish for reasons 3 and 4. And therefore, usur to tovel kli suda. That seems to be the machlokis. Is it, if it's because the first two reasons, those don't apply to us. There's no takala, and there's no schita. I mean, even though it's, you're not supposed to use the glass without toveling it, that's not a takala. It's not like a big aveira. I'm kind of isur d'oraisa. However, maybe you'll carry it. That would apply to us. And it looks like the talking, that for sure applies to us, right? And we see the ikar reason is which? The ikar reason, according to the Ramah. So what does he say? Says the Mechaber. Really, they say, the ikar reason we'll see in a minute is four. We'll see why in a second. Is Nirat Mitzake. The main reason they don't like Zera Darabah is for a simple reason. That here it's they usher even on Yuntif. And if it was usher the carrying, it doesn't really make sense. It should be usher on Yuntif. The Gemara, of course, deals with that. But it still ends up, and the Gemara also thought that question, but it still ends up dachuk. So, says the Mechaber, Motor lahapu kli chadash hatunu tvila. It's mutter, like the riff. V'yesh osrim, and some people aser. So what's the halacha? V'yirei shamayim, yetzei es kulam. Yirei shamayim should be yotze, all of them, meaning even the more machmer opinion. What should yirei shamayim do? V'yitin kula akum atonav yaksu shalom men ve'im sar tvila. What should yirei shamayim do? It sounds, by the way, from the Mechaber, like me'ikra din. How do we pasken? Mutter. But yirei shamayim should be machmer. And what should you do if you need to use it on Shabbos? Give it to a guy's matana. We know, even though it's also to buy and sell on Shabbos, it's mutter to give matana for tzarchei Shabbos, right? For needs of Shabbos, you're allowed to give matana. You should give it to a guy's matana and borrow it back from him, since it belongs to a guy's pater from tefillah. Only if a Jew buys it from a guy, it's chayif. It belongs to a guy's pater. And then you can use it without tovling, add the taz and others, but you should still tovel it after Shabbos. This trick, it's a trick, only works temporarily. Okay, adds the Ramah, the imu klisha roi lamalos b'mayim, enu mayim enu mikvah v'yos lo tefillah. If it's something which is fit for ladling water from the well, then you could do a trick. This is a mefurs in our beitza. Just use it as a ladle to get water out of the well, and then you'll also tovel it, but it's no problem because it doesn't look like toveling. From the Ramah, can we prove what he thought was the ikar reason? If the ikar reason was you might carry it, this trick wouldn't work. If the ikar reason is it looks like fixing, here it doesn't look like fixing, because that's what the Gemara says. We've learned that about toveling, right? If a person toveled, it looks like bathing, not fixing. Ikar, that's what the ikar is for. Therefore, says the Ramah, mutter al yadei harama, right? Just like if a person wants to tovel, they can tovel because it looks like bathing. Not only that, in the days of Tumah Vatara, if a woman was a nida, and she wanted to tovel her clothing, she could go to the mikveh in clothing, obviously in loose clothing, otherwise it would ruin her mikveh, or ruin her tefillah, and tovel her clothing also, because it just looks like she's being tznius. Likewise, over here, if it just looks like you're drawing water from the well, then it is mutter, because the whole issue is that it looks like, and here it just looks like drawing water from the well, so it's nothing else, because it looks like fixing, it's mutter if you make it look innocent. Now, so we see that the ikar reason is four. Now, what are we paskin? Let's just, there is another factor here as well, which I'm not going to get into. You can look in the Tazmag of Ram and Berhetev, which is the Gemara says it's only called fixing if it's Tamei D'Oraisa. If it's Tamei D'Rabbanan, then it's not called fixing. So then you get a whole discussion in the Magen Avraham and the Taz. Well, how about our Tefilas Kelim? First of all, some people think Tefilas Kelim is only D'Rabbanan, even though that's not the mainstream Sah. So then maybe it should be Mutter. Even if Tefilas Kelim was D'Oraisa, not using them once before you tovel them is only D'Rabbanan, so maybe that should be Mutter. On the other hand, no, maybe since it's Tamei D'Rabbanan, it's still usable for Tamei food. Something that needs Tefilas Kelim is not usable for any food, so maybe it's always more chomer. So the whole discussion as to how to view it, are you fixing it more? Some people say you're fixing it the same as Tamei clothing. Some people say you're fixing it more than Tamei clothing, because at least a tummy person can wear tummy clothing. No one's allowed to use an untovel fork. Or some people say you're toveling it less than tummy clothing. It's tummy clothing, it's tummy d'oraisa. Here, it's only d'rabbanan, you can't use it. Okay, I in the bir halacha. Halacha l'maisa, there are two opinions of the Mechaber. How do we paskin? We paskin, says the Mishnah Brura. Says the Mishnah Brura. We paskin l'chumra with an asterisk. Says the halacha l'maisa, the psak of the Mishnah Brura. Is usur, but what? Bidi eved mutter, meaning mutter lishtamishbo. Right, even though it's a Mishnah that says if you told your kelim on Shabbos bidi eved, you can't use them to violate an avera. But since here it's machlokas, whether it applies to our kelim that we know in Tumah Vatara, says bidi eved, and Sheretzion says, we learned the Prima Gadim Shinir Ches, if bidi eved, it's machlokas to be shown, and bidi eved, if someone told it on Shabbos, you could use it. And not only that, Davar shesafeg ha'em chayav tvila, mutter lechatchila. If you have something just suffic whether you need to tovel in the first place or not. There's some kalim that were misuffic whether they need tvila in the first place. Some achlokas whether they need tvila in the first place. Right? Let's say, coated dishes or something that are only glazed with metal or something. Or, storage containers that some people say need tefillah, some people say don't, etc., etc. Anything that you would tovel without a bracha because it's a suffix. If you would tovel without a bracha because it's a suffix, then smeg, maybe it doesn't need tefillah. Even if it doesn't need tefillah, maybe we paskin its mutter. The ikra didn't we paskin its mutter. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says you can be mako. There's a chai adam who goes even further. He says, if you really would ruin your Shabbos meal, you can just stop relying on the first opinion of the mechaber and tovel it. If it's like an absolute necessity, it's an emergency, then me'ikr, then we hold like the first opinion, you don't always have to be such a Yerishamayim. Mishnah Berurah doesn't give that kulah, but the chai adam does. So lemaisa, even though it's a mefurish Mishnah, you can't tovel kelim on Shabbos, that's talking about Tum of Atara. It's machlokes rishonim whether that applies to our tvila of clay suda that you buy from a guy. Therefore, lechat tvila, you shouldn't use it. If you need to use it, give it to a guy and borrow back from him. However, b'di'ev, if someone tovels it, it's okay. And even lechat tvila, if it's a suffix, whether it's chayim and tvila, it's okay. Like many of our kelim, if it says in the tvila's kelim guy, tovel that a bracha, then on Shabbos you can tovel it if you need to. And, says the chay adam, if you're super duper stuck, you can tovel anything on Shabbos and rely on the Ikra Din, the first opinion in the Mechaber. That's Tvilas Kalim. I'll mention very briefly, without looking up inside, that it's also us to be Mafresh, Trumas, or Maitzvos, or Chala on Shabbos. The Rambam has a steamer what the reason is. In one place he says, why can't you be Mafresh, Trumas, or Maitzvos? Because it's like Tikkun, it's like fixing the food. Midrash Rabbanan. In another place he says, because it's like Hekdish, which is Mekach U'Memkar. You're giving it to the Kohen and Levi. So, it says the Magid Mishnah, he says, yeah, the Rambam fixes us for two reasons. Okay, what the lumdas and sugis are behind this, not for now. Halach L'maisa, it is us to be Mafresh, Shumas, or Maisvos, or Chala on Shabbos. What that means is that if you bake bread and Chala, forgot to be Mafresh Chala, you bake bread and forgot to be Mafresh Chala, use our terms so that we won't get too confused. You bake loaves and forgot to be Mafresh Chala, and Shabbos started, then it's too late. You can't be Mafresh Chala anymore. If you picked fruits from your yard and forgot to be Mafresh Shumas or Maestros, then it's too late. You can't be Mafresh anymore. So what can you do if your wife baked Chala, beautiful loaves of Chala for Shabbos, and she forgot to be Mafresh Chala, and now Shabbos already started? So if it's during Bina Shmashos, and you have no other bread in your house, you can be Mafresh, because Bina Shmashos were made for Shabbos needs. But what if it's already past Bina Shmashos? Why is it already dark outside? Then the answer is, you just have to not eat bread that Shabbos. There's nothing you can do. It's a real isser. Ein ma la'asot. If the only challah you have is tevel, and it's already dark outside, then you can't be mafresh. You just have to eat cookies for Shabbos meal instead of challah, because it's an isser drabanan, isser gomer to be mafresh, chumas or maizros, or challah on Shabbos. However, if you live in chutz la'aretz, then Trumas or Maestros don't apply in the first place. And what should you do if you forgot to be Mafresh Chala and you live in Chutz La'aretz? Anyone ever lived in Chutz La'aretz? What kula do they have in Chutz La'aretz and Chala? Not a kula on Shabbos. You still can't be Mafresh on Shabbos. But the kula is that it's a very light Rabbanan. And therefore, you can eat Chala first and save some for Matzei Shabbos and be Mafresh later. Now again, if you did that in Eretz Yisrael, let's say I ate Chala first and I saved some to be Mafresh later, then a chayim misa b'dei shemayim for eating tevel first. The mafresh later doesn't help. In chutz la'aretz, there's a kula in hilchas chala that you can retroactively be mafresh on what's already in your stomach. So I'll just eat all my chala Friday night and Shabbos morning and save a little piece for after Abdullah and be mafresh retroactively. That's in chutz la'aretz. So chutz la'aretz is not a big deal. And also in chutz la'aretz, if it's not, I forgot to be mafresh on 8th, I haven't done an aveira yet. I can just be mafresh later. In Eretz Yisrael, however, if Chas V'Shol, so forgets who Mafresh Chala eats, they've done a big Aveira. You know, okay, maybe, depends, Bizman Azeh, if Chala is the rice of Ravana, and certainly, maybe even Chashash and Misa V'Dei Shemayim. And if Shabbos started, and you weren't Mafresh, you're just stuck. There's nothing you can do, and you just can't be Mafresh, you just can't eat. What if you buy something from a Heksher you don't rely on? And so you may meant to be Mafresh Chala or Trumas or Maestros, and then Shabbos started. So that seems to be like Demai. The Mishnah says during Dina Shmash you can mafresh Demai, but once Shabbos started, you can't. And then you're stuck, you can't eat it. However, there's some poskim who say, Demai means you bought something without a hechsher. If you buy something from a reputable hechsher, you're just very frum and not somech on it. There are poskim who say, that's not considered a frustrated shuvus or maestros at all. That's considered just a chumra bi'alma. And therefore, there are poskim who are makel in that case. That's a big machlokzah poskim. They say that, I think they say from the Chazon Ish, it's a story that if something was under a reputable hashgacha, you're just machmer anyway. Then there's room to be makel b'shas hadchak on Shabbos. But if something's not under reputable hashgacha, then it can't be mafresh trumas or maestros once it gets dark outside on Shabbos. Okay, one last thing I want to mention is molid reach b'vgadim. The Gemara says in Beitza, you're not allowed to take a cup of perfume and put it on your clothing. How would they get their clothing to smell nice? They would take a cup with perfume. And, I mean, they didn't always have the liquid perfume you could spritz. They would take a cup of, like, perfume stuff, put it on your clothing, and there was no room for the air to circulate except in that cup, and all the smell of the perfume would go in the clothing. So it's also to do that on Yontif, and obviously also on Shabbos, because it's molded reach b'vgadim, you're giving it a new property, and that is like fixing it. It's also something you should like, it's not really fixing it, just to make it smell nice, but it's like fixing it, so it's usher. Even though it's not permanent. What? And according to Rosh, that's where Shlomo Zalman and others found the smach, the asur electricity. Well, if giving something a smell might be asur because it looks like you're giving it some new property, turning an electric device on also gives it a new property and is asur. That's the smach many people have to find an isur drabanan for electricity. Lemaisa, what does this apply to? So without going inside, I'll mention three issues. One is adding a smell to kelim is for sure asur. This means also you can't spritz perfume on your shirt. I mean, men usually don't do that anyway. But you can't spritz perfume on your shirt because that's giving a smell to the god. I mean, nowadays we have better technology. You just spritz. You can spritz perfume on your skin, we'll see, but you can't spritz perfume on your skirt, on your shirt, because that is giving it a smell. So if someone wants to wear perfume on Shabbos, they can spritz it on themselves, but not on their clothing. What is mutter, though, is... Let's say you have sometimes you have like besamim, if you squish them a little, they'll smell, it'll release some smell. That's mutter, because the smell's already in there, you're just releasing it. So you're allowed to use examples, they would roll the besamim to get more, and Havdalah. You ever notice, in Havdalah, if your besamim don't smell, if you crush them a little, they'll start smelling. Why? Because it released hadasim, right? If the dasim don't smell nice, you crack them and you smell them, right? And they smell, right?
Yes.
Right? So if you do that on Friday night also, you crack them? Oh, okay. So anyway, so it's mutter, because that's not giving them a new smell. It's just releasing the smell that they have. So you can crush the besamim to release the smell inside, but you can't put smell into clothing. Now, even if the leaves fall off, what? I mean, they're not attached to the ground anymore, right? It's not goats there. And pashtus, we assume that's not dush. So I don't, certainly, pashtus, we assume that's not dush either. So unless the derech people do it with the dasim, I don't think so. So I think that would be fine. Now, three machlokes I'll just mention. Number one, how about adding smell to water? Water's not a kli. Did we see this machlok this once? Why does it sound familiar? Yes, we mentioned this briefly when we were learning about tochin. Because in tochin, the Taz says, you want to crush spices? Don't put them in a cloth and crush them. And then agav, we might have mentioned these things. Anyway, let me mention three machlokos very quickly. Number one, adding reyach to water. This is a big issue. In the old days, before duchening, many shuls had a minhag to add perfume to the water for the cover of the kohanim. So, can you add perfume to water on Shabbos to make perfumed water? So, the Chacham Tzvi says mutter, put in the Berhete, but the Magen Avraham, the Taz, and the Mishnah Brura say usser, and we pasken usser. You're not even allowed to add smell to water on Shabbos. Second issue is, what about adding reyach to your skin? right? The next issue they discuss is, let's say the perfume was already in the water. Can you wash your hands in the water and perfume your hands on Shabbos? That, the Taz says is usher, meaning according to the Taz, you can't wear perfume on Shabbos. But the Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Duchening, Kuf Kuf Ches, Sifkatan, it wasn't on the chorus, I think, says Mutter, we paskin it's Mutter, obviously you know people wear perfume on Shabbos, because skin is not like a kli. Water is too close to a kli, but your body, the Isser doesn't apply to the Taz would say it's also wear perfume on Shabbos, because you're adding smell to yourself. But we don't paskin that way. What?
Herbal tea or tea that has...
No, because that's different. That's ochlin. Your main intention is to eat it. So that's ain't sfiya ba'ochlin. What?
It's mashka.
No, but it doesn't matter. Meaning there's no isser of coloring food if you just want to make something to eat. Or likewise, no isser of giving smell to food. Everyone says you could put ingredients, a lot of food smells when you mix it. That's because you mean to eat it. But over here, the water you didn't mean to drink.
You just
meant to wash the Kohen's hands with it.
So
in your toilet bowl water, you can't add perfume. Or if there would be something that would add a nice smell to your toilet bowl water, you can't do that. You also can't add smell to your toilet. What can you do? You can spritz air freshener in the air, because that's not considered a kli. That's not in the Mishnah Brura, but the post can write. You can spritz air freshener in the air. That's okay.
What about those toilet bowl cleaning tablets that people have suspended
now? Usually it's Asur Mishum Sopeya. Okay. And if it gives a nice smell, it's also usher because it's giving a smell to the water. So those are bad news on Shabbos. One last thing I'll mention, and this is what we for sure learned, because this is mostly found in Hilchos Tochein. What about a psik reisha? What if your intention is not to give a smell, but it happens? That's the Taz's case. You want to crush your pepper. So you put in a cloth and crush it so it won't get lost, and that also makes the cloth smell. But that's not your intention. Or you wrap your esrog in a cloth. It makes the cloth smell. So the Mishnah Berurah says, anyway, it doesn't make the cloth smell. If it was ready in the cloth once, it smells already. It's not going to smell more. But what about a psik reisha? You unintentionally give smell on... give something a smell on Shabbos. So the Ma'aril said Asur, the Marshal said Mutter, the Taz was Soser himself. The Mishnah Berurah sounds like it's Mutter in Hilchos Tochein. We saw this Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tochein, and he sounds like, since this is not a real malacha, it just seems like malacha, the only option is if you did it on purpose. But if you did it accidentally, then that is not a problem. So let's say stam, you like put your clothes down on top of another clothes with perfume or something or whatever, and it happens to get a smell in it. Even if it's a psik reisha, if it's not your intention, they weren't gozer on it. Okay. We got pretty close. We didn't finish this Makor sheet yet, but we do need to start Chazar soon for the Bechina.
Bechina will be after Shavuos?
The Bechina will be June 15th, last day is Man. Bechina is June 15th, last day is Man. What's today?
The 24th.
The 24th. That's...
You're about 2.5 weeks right now after Shavuos.
We have 3 weeks and a day until the Bechina. I want to. How much time do we need to chazer?
At least 2 weeks. Whatever time is left after Shabbos.
Okay, so you know what? Let's just have a short shiur on Sunday, okay, and we'll finish up this Makor sheet, which is not a lot.
I'll try our captain to come in a little earlier.
Yeah, no. It's really. I see how it's. Whatever. Okay. I know I always lie. Anyway, let's finish up this Makor sheet Sunday, and if you want, you could already start chazering if you need more than 3 weeks to chazer. So Sunday will be the last shiur. It'll be a short shiur. We'll just finish up this Makor sheet. It's not like hard sugyas. Briefly, we'll talk about swimming on Shabbos, but that's just 10 minutes, and then we'll talk for maybe a half hour, 40 minutes about how Shmas Kol, and we'll not have any more Makor sheets this year. But there's always a lifetime to learn the rest of Hilchos Shabbos, or Summer's Mind if Cherniak wants to be in charge. Great. And also, at some point, we'll want to do a follow-up to Friday, but that will be on the Kolo-wide level, not only for the guys learning Hilchos Shabbos, although the guys are particularly interested.